May the Lord help us to commence by singing part of hymn number 507. We'll sing the first verse and then from verse 5 to the end. How oft I grumble and repine with blessings in my hand. There's nothing here can satisfy, nor gold, nor house, nor land. Hymn 507, verse 1, and then from verse 5 to the end.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. We will read from two portions from Scripture. Firstly, the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. First epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, commencing at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Turn to the Revelation chapter 6. Look at the Revelation chapter 6. And I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men, every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Lord, bless to us his holy word, and help us to pray. Most merciful, gracious, almighty Lord God of heaven and of earth, may we now have granted to us that spirit of worship to come into thy presence with reverence, with godly fear, with living faith. May we behold thee sitting upon that throne of glory, that throne that we must one day appear before. And Lord, may today our exercise be to be made ready for that great moment. Pardon and forgive our every sin. May we be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Be given those white robes. We thank thee for thy mercies, Lord, that bring us into thy courts in safety. Lord, may we each have come because we have a need. Give to us each an appetite for the living bread and for the living water of thy gospel. May we not be satisfied with anything short of Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, and to know that he is our friend, our Saviour, and our Sovereign Lord. Give us this day, we pray, hearts of faith, ears of faith, eyes of faith, tongues of faith, feet of faith, to run in thy commandments, to sit at thy feet and hear thy word and profit from it. Call by grace a sinner dead in sin today, and begin and put in that heart the root of thy grace. Bring into the glorious liberty of the gospel those in conviction of sin. Those, Lord, who feel they have got no hope. Give them that hope in Jesus Christ. Establish thy flock in the faith, and grant, Lord, that there may be fruits in our lives to thy praise, glory, and honour. And may it be evident that we've been with Jesus. Prepare us to live to thy glory and honour, and prepare us to die and to stand before thy face. Bless this church and people. Watch over and be with them, and supply their various and varied needs, all known unto thee. Grant, Lord, that this may be a united church, a living church, a praying church, a fruitful church, a church that is fed by thy hand and visited by thy Spirit. add to their numbers such as thou hast eternally saved. Bless the deacons of this cause and help them in their responsibilities that thou hast called them to. Give them grace and wisdom and discernment. Grant help in the choice of the hymns that are sung. Grant, Lord, that there may be a living ministry from this pulpit week by week, and may the manna fall from heaven, and the living waters flow from the smitten rock. Bless each member of the congregation. Put thy fear in their hearts. Give them a love for Jesus Christ. Bless those in employment and help them to stand for right things, to follow in thy footsteps, and not to follow a multitude to do evil. Bless parents and help them to bring up children in thy fear. May they bring them daily to the throne of grace and receive answers of peace to their prayers. Be with those, Lord, who are elderly and infirm, those unable to be here, those in hospital, those in your own homes. Do visit them today in thy mercy. Make known thyself unto them. May they prove that even a bed of affliction can be the house of God and the gate of heaven. Be with the children and the young people, and bless them, and supply their every need. Open doors for them, keep them to thy courts. Be with those, Lord, who have trouble, difficulties, trials, perplexities. Know their souls in adversity. And visit them, Lord, and grant them to prove that underneath are the everlasting arms of thy love, of thy grace. Bring back, Lord, those who may have strayed from this people. And do visit this area and bring into this house of prayer yet many more to worship thy great and thy holy name. Visit this nation and grant, Lord, there might be that true conviction of sin and that true repentance granted over our sins as a nation. May we live to see the day when chapels are opened instead of closed, courses are built up and maintained instead of numbers falling away. And most of all, when thy Spirit visits and convicts and calls by grace and brings into the knowledge of Jesus Christ poor sinners. Open the eyes of our Prime Minister and government. Call him by grace, we beg. Overturn the wicked designs of men against thy sacred institution of marriage, and yet bring to confusion the devil's designs. We pray, gracious God, that the day may come when the Ten Commandments are backed up by law in our Parliament, and instead of ruling in an ungodly manner, we have rulers that walk in thy truth. Lord, grant wrestling prayer in these matters, and grant, Lord, the faith to wait for thee to answer. Lord, do now come. Thou seest all our needs. Grant this day that many may prove the Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Grant help to preach. Grant help to hear. We ask and plead in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 904. O Lord, with shame I do confess my universal emptiness, my poverty and pride. I cannot keep thee in my sight, nor can I think one thought aright, unless thy spirit guide. Hymn 904.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, I venture to ask your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 2. The 40th chapter in the prophecy of Isaiah, the second verse. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The prophet Isaiah lived and prophesied about 700 years before our Lord was born. And yet, what he said in his day still has relevance today. And there are many that have found the prophecy of Isaiah, even in our day, to be the message of life to their souls. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. This is the word of God. This is the command of God to Isaiah. This is the command of God to every gospel minister. We are to warn, to teach, to encourage, and speak comfortably to his saints. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. This word of comfort is not a universal word. The prophet is specifically commanded to speak to Jerusalem. While this word had a literal meaning for the literal Jerusalem, it goes deeper than that. Because the only words of comfort Almighty God will ever speak are to the citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem. To the children of God. If we are not a child of God, we are not in this text. If we are not children of God, our iniquity is not pardoned. And remains on our consciences and on our souls to be required of. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Margin reading, speak ye to the heart. Is there any heart religion here this morning? Any hearts prepared by God to receive the word? Any hearts that tremble at the word of God? Any hearts that desire for Almighty God in mercy to speak comfortably to them? Any hearts to which their iniquity is a most pressing matter, and who need the pardon spoken of in our text? It's to them that Isaiah is sent to with these words of comfort. And to you, trembling soul, this morning who have come into God's house under a cloud of your sins, temptation, the devil roaring, and you perhaps almost wonder why you even bothered coming to the Lord's house this morning. Here is a word of the Lord unto you. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, he's risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. A word of comfort given to those women as they ventured that resurrection morning to the sepulchre. Not one word of comfort was given to those soldiers, though they feared and quaked and became as dead men. And beloved friends, if you and I have no interest in Jesus Christ, if we do not know him as our Lord, as our God, as our Saviour, and as our friend, there cannot be any words of comfort. If you do not know Jesus Christ, you can never go to heaven. If you do not know Jesus Christ, in that last great day of judgment, you will be among those that cry to the rocks and to the hills to fall on you, to hide you from the wrath of the Lamb of God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. But those who are brought by faith to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they know what it is for him to speak to their hearts. And it's heart religion that is real religion. It's heart religion that will bring forth fruit. It's heart religion that will change the life, the conversation, the pursuits. What evidence has there been in this past week that we have a religion of the heart? Have we lived in that spirit that thou, O God, seest me? Have we day by day sought for grace to walk with God, to love God, to serve him? Have we day by day sought that he might speak to us comfortably? He may reveal unto us the glories of the gospel, make known that it was for us as heart religion. And if you are one of these citizens of the New Jerusalem, you will not be able to live your life as once you did. There will be a change. There must be a change, because you are serving a different master. Jesus Christ was instead of the devil. You will know that great exercise of soul. Where will I spend eternity? And you'll echo the lines of the hymn writer, Jesus, engrave it on my heart, that thou the one thing needful art. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. That's real religion. For one who is truly brought to say that from the heart. Easy to say the words. It's much more different, friends, to walk in them. But every child of God will be brought to that point. That though they may have to part with everything, their one desire will be that they don't part with Jesus. To such souls, word of God is this: speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. To that soul that comes to the Lord crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that may have been your religion many years. You will find mercy. You will find help. You will find pardon in Jesus. And this is God's word to you this morning, not a word of condemnation, not a word to drive you away, but a word of gracious encouragement. Cry unto her. That her warfare is accomplished. Margin reading for warfare here is appointed time. Her appointed time is accomplished. God has appointed that believers here below will know what it is to have to fight the good fight of faith. Here below we are appointed much tribulation. Here below we are appointed to know hardness of the way. A battle isn't easy, is it? It's hard. It's intense. It's dangerous. Don't play with your soul. The devil has his eye on your soul, and he has it in his heart to destroy it. Don't play with sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. And if you play with sin as if it is a thing of nothing, if you are a child of God, you will be brought into a place of tribulation to bring you to your knees to seek for mercy. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. The battle has been won. The victory has been secure. Satan has been completely defeated. Every believer. No, God appoints you and I, if we are his children, to know this warfare. Yet, beloved friend, the battle is not yours but God's, and it is he that will give you the strength to endure. It will he that will give you the strength to fight in temptation. It will he that will give you that strength to turn away from that sin that you love. This warfare has been accomplished in the person and in the work of Jesus Christ. That life that he lived, he knew what it was to have a warfare. He knew what it was for the devil to tempt. He knew what it was to go through those deep waters and trials. The devil attacked our Lord far more intensely than he ever attacked you, child of God. And here we comfort take, though hard the battle seem, our captain stood the fiery test. We shall stand through him. Jesus Christ conquered. Every day of his life, the devil tempted him to sin. Every sin that you and I are also tempted to sin and commit. But he resisted every one of those temptations. There was never a wrong thought, never a wrong word, never a wrong deed that he committed. And though he was tried again and again and again, at all times he remained perfect, sinless, pure, without spot. He resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And he conquered, and he triumphed. Even his enemies have to acknowledge, never man spake like this man. Even when brought into the judgment hall, they cannot find one sin to charge against him. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. It was accomplished when Jesus cried, "It is finished." That's what it meant. Accomplished. Complete. Done. A work of righteousness. A work acceptable unto God while pleasing unto him. There's nothing left for a believer to do. We don't add our own works of righteousness to the righteousness of Christ. Because our own works are polluted, stained with sin, not fit to be seen. But the Lord has accomplished righteousness on behalf of his church. He has woven out that robe, perfect, suitable, complete, for every citizen of this Jerusalem. A royal robe designed to be designed in love, in sovereignty, in the purposes of God, to make you child of God, fit for heaven, fit for the presence of an infinitely holy God. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Believer, this is a comfort in your warfare that you're called to go in. Yes, you often fall, don't you? If it depended upon you, this could never be said of you, your warfare is accomplished. But it doesn't depend on you, it depends on Jesus. Almighty God doesn't look at your warfare, he looks at the warfare of his Son. But you must expect that battle against sin. You must expect the devil to tempt, to harass, to annoy, to distress, even to terrify. You must expect him to come time and again in unexpected ways. Your master's lot, you must expect temptation more or less. Dream not of faith so clear that shuts all doubtings out. Remember how the devil dared to tempt in Christ to doubt. He hurled ifs, hows, whys at the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not hesitate to hurl them at you. You come into the Lord's house this morning, some of you with many an if. Many a why? You say, is my pathway turned out so unexpectedly? Why has the storm arisen? Why has the sunshine withdrawn and the dark clouds come? Take your whys, your hows, your ifs back to the Lord. Ask Him to reveal it unto you. Do not interpretations belong unto God? You may this morning be tossed with waves in your soul like the disciples were in that boat. Feel out your depth. Feel at the mercy of Satan. Friend, if you look at that tossing boat on that Sea of Galilee, although that boat was tossed, it didn't overturn, did it? Though that boat was tossed, not one of the disciples were tossed out of that boat. They didn't sink, they didn't drown, and they didn't turn back either. They carried on till the Lord came and delivered them. But while they were tossed with waves, our Lord Jesus Christ was in that mountain praying for them. We read he saw them toiling and rowing. They couldn't see him. You can't see him this morning as you toil in your rowing and are tossed in this appointed time of trouble. But Almighty God has appointed it for your good, for his glory, to teach you things you would never know otherwise. He has appointed the length of the trouble. You cannot shorten it by one moment. The devil cannot lengthen it by 1 hour. He has appointed just how many waves will frighten your poor soul. In every moment of that storm, hold your soul in his hand, and he brings your case before the throne of his Father in heaven. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren, and when his appointed time comes, the right time, he will say, peace, be still, and he'll bring you out of that trial, that storm, that tribulation. And you'll know again his mercy. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Some of you, the appointed time at the moment is to feel your sin, isn't it? To feel deeply, some deeper than others, the wretched defilement of your nature, the sin that you see daily, that you commit. You know much of your need of the pardon that is spoken of in our text. Almighty God has appointed a day when he will cry unto you that your iniquity is pardoned. No sinner yet died, truly pleading for mercy and never having found it. All who truly plead for mercy from the heart will find that mercy. So carry on pleading and praying and begging. God's eye remains upon you. That appointed time is near for your deliverance. For some, maybe the appointed time is for you to be born again, for that life to begin, for you to begin to realize what it is to be a sinner. For you to begin to realize the worth, the value, the preciousness of Jesus Christ. For you begin to have those desires that you never had before. Those desires after God, after Jesus, after righteousness. After peace, after a mediator, to take your cause and plead it before God's throne. Wherever God begins the work of grace, he will carry it on and he will finish it in his time. He's appointed that time when he'll bring you to that knowledge of himself as your Saviour and as your Lord. He's appointed that time when at last he'll take you home to glory to be with him in heaven, that new Jerusalem. Perhaps one of you says to me this morning, I am in a time of disappointment. I have prayed long over my soul, and I have come with hope many times. Others' cases have been met, but I'm just the same, and I go away with my need unfulfilled, with my sin seemingly unpardoned. Thou shalt obtain the blessing yet. Jesus will not thy cries forget. Wait on the Lord, take courage still. His oath and promise he will surely fulfill. Even for you, a poor sinner, that one who feels to be the least, you won't be disappointed forever. Then I hear one of you say, but my disappointment is a providential one. Your business, your family, your relationships. Well, Almighty God has appointed this time for you. Our times are in his hand. Our times of joy as well as our times of grief. Take your disappointment back to the Lord. Ask him to manage it and work it out for you. But more than that, ask him so to bless you through this providential trial, that it does your soul good. Ask Almighty God to give you a clearer view of him, a closer knowledge of him. And to give you the grace and the faith to say, thy will be done, and to leave it in his hand. Yes, it may be that God works in a way that you do not look for. It may be that disappointment will not end as you hope. But look up, look higher. Your times are in his hand. You have it here, the Lord's hand. It's a wise hand. It's a loving hand. It is an almighty hand. It's a hand that will not let you go. It's a hand that cannot be unkind. It's a hand that cannot make a mistake. It's a hand that will teach you and guide you. And that hand is governed by the holy love of God for your soul. What low you can't his going see, nor all his footsteps find. Too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. God cannot be unkind. God cannot be unfair. God cannot be unjust. God has not made a mistake. And though this trial that he's brought you into has brought you to a dead halt, has shaken you to the very core of your being, it's not shaken Almighty God from his throne. It's not brought him to a halt. It's not caught him by surprise. He knew it was coming. And he's brought it in love and mercy. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. This is a great point. If you and I are the children of God, we have an eternity to face. And we are poor sinners. If iniquity is unpardoned, we can only know eternal punishment. If iniquity is unpardoned, we can only know the awful wrath of an almighty God upon us forever. You cannot pardon your own iniquity, and no one else in your family, your friends, your acquaintances can pardon your iniquity either. Almighty God and God alone has the right and the authority to pardon sin. And what a mercy that he says to these citizens of Jerusalem, her iniquity is pardoned. For she had received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The sovereign Lord will pardon who he will. It should be our exercise to know that he has pardoned us. And how does he pardon? Through not just the life, but through the death of Jesus Christ. He died on that cross at Calvary. And as he died, he bore and paid the price which every citizen of this new Jerusalem had incurred by her sinful walk. For iniquity to be pardoned, that price has to be paid. A price you can never pay yourself. But Jesus Christ, the Holy Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Son of Man, upon that cross at Calvary, the sins of his church were laid upon him. And payment was demanded of him, and he bears in that holy body and in that holy soul the torment, the anger, the wrath of God, the shame, the ignominy, the torment. That hand wounded and pierced, believer, because of your sin. That same hand has appointed for you double for all her sins. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins, double mercy. The mercy that Jesus has, child of God, is greater than all your sin. The love he has is greater than all your doubts. The pardon he has is greater than all the pollution of your sin. He has ordained that you will receive that mercy for all of your sins. It's necessary. We die of just one sin unpardoned, we can't go to heaven. That sin you care about the least, that you think is the least of sins. That sin is unpardoned. You will never know what it is to be in the presence of a smiling God. You will never know what it is to enjoy the glories of heaven. It is necessary for us to receive pardon for all our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Doesn't matter how black, how vile, how polluted, how strong. The blood of Christ is stronger. And those that are washed in that precious blood, the pure, the white, the sin, the blood covers all sin. And when Almighty God now looks upon that soul, he sees not their sins, but the precious blood of his Son. And he smiles upon you and says, speak comfortably. Everything that destroyed the comfort has been taken away forever. There's now nothing but eternal comfort for a child of God. One day, child of God, he has appointed that time. When your warfare will be accomplished and complete. The end of the way, when he'll take you home to glory, to sing that song of the redeemed, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, be glory. May the Lord in his mercy forgive anything I've said wrong. This has been a strange sermon this morning. But may he bless it to your encouragement, to your good, and to his glory. Amen.
Collection last Lord's Day was £491, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Buss will address the Sunday School this afternoon. Our friend Mr. Woodhouse is very ill and will not be able to come the coming weekend. God willing, Mr. Philip Hare will preach on Friday evening and Lord's Day evening, and there'll be a reading service next Lord's Day in the morning. Mr. Hare has to check his diary at work before he can be sure that he'll be free on Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 737. Gracious Lord, incline thy ear, my request vouchsafe to hear. Hear my never-ceasing cry. Give me Christ, or else I die. Hymn 737.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with you each now and forevermore. Amen.